friends, let us begin with our usual chant. Vande Vamsi Dharam Krishna Smayamanam Mukhambhujam Sitambaradharam Neelam Malyakchandam Radha Chitta Chakurendu Saundarya Sumahodaya Paratvarataram Devam Brahmananda Kripa Nidhi Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Puranamunina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Ritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam Anusandhame Bhagavad Gita Bhavadvesheni. From last Friday, we began studying the 18th chapter of this great scripture. In fact, last Friday we only had a review of the what we learned earlier in the 17th chapter, and now after looking at what the Bhagavad Gita has been telling us throughout these 17 chapters, we took just a quick overview of those teachings. And now we are ready to read the 18th chapter. Let's remember, as Shankaracharya had mentioned in the introduction of this chapter, that the essence or the sum and substance of the whole Bhagavad Gita has been compressed by Lord in this 18th chapter. Like a condensed message, this is the last chapter, and so when lot of teachings have been given, then before the student and the teacher go along their separate paths, the teacher tells certain important things to be remembered. All those that has been already taught is kind of then in a jest put there. So all the teachings of Bhagavad Gita are presented in a nutshell in this chapter. Also, Shankara mentions that since Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Vedas, all the scriptures, all that is also therefore condensed in this chapter. Also, we will see many teachings which have not been explicitly dealt with earlier. They also have come to the fore here. And this chapter begins with Arjuna's question. And this question again brings to the fore what he had been asking again and again, and what his mind was really worried about. We saw that Arjuna has been told again and again that you should perform your duties here. You should do your work, but in a detached manner. And do your work, but do not get caught in all the results that one expects from them. Keep away the expectations. Do the work, but it is the expectations that bind you. That therefore, give up those expectations, give up craving for the results of those works, and thus you will reach the goal. Giving up the work is not the path for you. But there is still the idea that, okay, let me understand it clearly. Is giving up all these works not possible for me? What is the whole idea of doing the work and then giving up the results? Why should I then do the works? Let me just not do any work. That sounds simple. Do the work and then don't get attached. Why or take all this trouble in the first place? Just don't do anything. Just lie in the bed, and then that will not, if you do not do any work, you will not create any problem. The work, if you do the work, then the attachment comes, then the entanglement comes. But if you don't do any work, then you will miss all that. And these monks, they seem to do that, especially they, what is generally understood by monastic life, that you run away from all your social obligations, go to a forest, live there, beg your food, and do nothing. Thus, you do not have to face the family situations. You do not have to think that, well, how can now, who is going to take my kids to the school or to their that soccer field? You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to then think about how to keep your wife happy. You don't have to think about how to, you know, keep your husband's in good mood. It is, you don't have to worry about any such thing. Just you don't have to worry about what will happen if my job goes away. Those who have the job will have to worry about it. Those who don't have the job at all, they don't have to worry about what will happen if my job goes away. So therefore, this sannyasi's life is so nice, no worries. And that is why these swamis seem to have great chance of realizing God. And we householders, we are told, we are given double burden, work and then give up the results. Why so? So why not become just a swami, give up everything? And but friends, that is not as easy as it sounds. It is not that the monks do not have to do any work. It is a wrong idea that people have about monastic life. Not that they do not have any obligations. Second thing is that if you have the craving for enjoyments, craving for doing something, then that craving will not let you sit quiet. It will make you do things. You will keep on doing things, but without any discipline and without any obligation associated with it. And thus, you are more likely to run a riot with your life. It is not that to be a monk is not just to do anything. It is a mental effort of reversing, as our many times this beautiful phrase has been mentioned. It is reversing your brain chemistry. Becoming a monastic means it is the common brain chemistry will be to go and grab things of the world. This thing looks so nice, I want to enjoy this, and I want to taste these things. And so the common brain chemistry will be to go towards that. In a monastic life you are taught, or that is what you are supposed to do, that to reverse that brain chemistry. That if there is an idea that let me take this, you have to reverse that. That no, you are not going to take this. So that is a big work really, internal work. So, and it is, it comes gradually to in a person's life. Moreover, it is not necessary that it has to come, because there are other paths. Not that everybody has to go to the ultimate God realization by the same one path. There is this path of giving up the results of your work. So Arjuna asked this question, phrased very differently. Earlier also in the third chapter, again in the fifth chapter, he has asked similar question in the beginning of those chapters, and then Krishna's answer followed. Now he has put it in a rather subtle manner, using the idea of renunciation in both these. So Arjuna Vacha, the first verse begins, Sanyasasya Mahabaho Tattvam Ichhami Veditum Tyagasya Cha Rishikesha Prithak Keshini Shudanam. I desire to know distinctly the true nature of renunciation, that is sannyasa, O Rishikesha, as also of relinquishing, relinquishment, tyaga, O mighty armed one, O slayer of Keshi. Keshi was one of the demons whom Krishna had killed, so he is referred here. His name became Keshi Nishudana, the one who has killed Keshi, a demon called Keshi. So this is the question that has been put, that sannyasa has a meaning which is rather technical, that you cut off all connection with your family, friends, in order to feel that sense of belonging only to God. No sense of particularized belonging. And these things you can understand, that we all know that God is our father, God is our mother, God is our everything. We read it in the scriptures as that beautiful Sanskrit verse says, Tvameva mata cha pita, tvameva, tvameva bandhuscha sakha, tvameva, tvameva vidya dravinam, tvameva, tvameva sarvam mama deva deva. That yes, thou art my father, thou art my mother, thou art my learning, thou art my wealth, thou are my friends and relations. Everything that I have is thine. So we know that as a general understanding, or something, that information that we have read. But still our understanding actually is that this man is my father, this woman is my mother, these are my siblings, these are my society, this is my community, and then this is my house, this is my job, this is my learning, I am a PhD or whatever, all that we have a particularized idea. And if you want to become a monk, you formally give up that idea, that no, I have no particular man and woman as my parents, I do not have a particular place, a dwelling place as my home, I do not have a particular connection with any land or any community, I belong to God. We belong to God, all of us, but a sannyasi, to realize this, severs the connection with all these earthly things. That is a deliberate severance, as Shankara mentions in one of his beautiful hymns, Annapurna Stotram, that my mother is Parvati and my father is Lord Shiva, and all the devotees, everybody in the world, all the devotees are my friends and siblings, and my land is all the three worlds is my homeland. So that is the attitude to be cherished by a monk, and so he severs connection with family and everybody. Now this of course frees a monk from all the duties associated with these connections. But it is not really easy to give those connections internally if you have craving for the so-called pleasures that accrue from these connections. Those things also you have to give up. People earlier in India would do all the different sacrifices as part of their duty. The householders would have these duties that you perform these sacrifices for your enjoyment and so forth. So a monk would become free from all those obligations. But at the same time, a monk will have this obligation to get completely connected to the awareness that I belong to God. See, you can easily see the difference in these two attitudes. I belong to God is the truth for everyone. A sannyasi tries to realize this truth by severing all connections in the world externally, and therefore takes up different clothes to announce this, that yes, I am not in the race for jobs, I am not looking for building any wealth, I do not crave for having any family. No, he announces that, but then he has to feel the internal connection with God. I belong to God. So if that is absent, then this will not succeed at all. This may externally happen, but not internally, and then the life will be a life of terrible misery and cheating, a life of hypocrite. A hypocrite, as in the third chapter Krishna explained, that that person is a hypocrite who externally gives up that action but keeps on mentally repeating it. So that person is a hypocrite. So one should not become a hypocrite. The life, if there is no internal connection with God, then only external renunciation can bring to that counterproductive kind of life there. And therefore, it is very important that you have the other path to see what will be more convenient and what will be more rewarding, what will be practically you will be able to follow. And that is called tyaga. Give up the results of the work. Lord had mentioned that also in various places earlier, and in the sixth chapter he specially mentioned that is to be considered as real sannyasa. Really becoming a monk if you are giving up the results of the work. And so in essence you become a yogi, you become a sannyasi, you become a monk essentially if you are doing your duties. Whether you like them or whether you don't like them doesn't matter. They are your duties, you have to do them, and you are doing them with all dedication, without craving for any results. Then you are like a monk so far as results are concerned. It is, results are the same. And so Lord describes here, again we have seen the speciality of the great mind of Lord Krishna, that he does not only answer the words but actually replies to the intent behind the question. And the question is phrased in certain words, but it is not easy to find exact words, and the words could be misleading also. So Lord understands through what psyche the question is bringing up. What is the nature of Arjuna's understanding? What is the problem actually? And that problem is being tackled not only the external words. So this is not an academic thesis, that where you just look at those words and tackle those things and then you may get a PhD for your thesis. This is something where the actual mindset of Arjuna is to be understood, and the doubts are to be clarified in a practical, functional way. And so Lord sees this point, this where Arjuna's mind is stuck, and then takes away that obstacle. We move forward in our spiritual path, but then obstacles come and we get stuck there. The teacher takes away that obstacle and makes the path again open for us. So Arjuna's mind is stuck in this idea that should I then not worry about running away to forest? That sounds very nice, rather than fighting this terrible war. It is fraught with so many uncertainties. All these are uncertainties of war. I will miss them if I just run away to forest. Will it not be good then? So that looking at that intent, Krishna replies, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sanyasam Kavayo Viduhu Sarva Karma Phalat Tyagam Prahus Tyagam Vichakshanaha. Sages understand, the Blessed Lord said, sages understand the renouncing of actions that fulfill desires as renunciation, sannyasa. And the learned declare the abandoning of the fruit of all actions as relinquishment or tyaga. So now after telling this, that it is The tyaga is giving up the results of the work. What it means is that you have to work, and then only there will be results of work. I give up all the results of my work because I don't do any work. That is not the idea there. You do your work. All works are to be performed with utmost attention, utmost involvement, and yet do not get caught in it. A very difficult task. You will see that in all great scriptures of the world this idea has been explained. Because, for example, you can see the Sufi ideal or Tao ideal. It comes greatly in the Taoist philosophy, that work but don't get entangled in it. Because that is the way. Work you must do. Keep on doing your work. Be absorbed in your work. And go on doing it. But that doesn't mean you should get entangled in it. If you get entangled in that, then it is not right. You should do the work with a full dedication. But do not get entangled. And like when you switch on the lights, then the switch connects the electricity with that light, bulbs, and then you see the illumination. Now if the switch gets stuck, then when you want to switch the lights off, you will not be able to do that because the switch is stuck there. So you have to have that capacity to switch it off. When you switch it off, it is completely gone. When you switch it on, it is completely there. So, when we are switched on to action, we are doing the work. And then, when the work is over, switch it off. There is no trace of work for you then. It is a mental discipline that we have to take up. What happens normally, and that is where our problem is, that we perform the work and then the work sticks to us. Like we have been working with bare hands, all that sticky paints. And then one person would be known that he was doing painting work, not by looking at what he painted, but looking at his person. All over the paint, here, there, everywhere. So, when you are working there, then the paint sticks to you. But the skillful painter will be able to paint everything that needs to be painted. Your hands and your nose was not required to be painted, but it got paint splashed on it. So, that is what happens. We go to do the work and that work gets splashed on our person. We get stuck with the work. And it is such a sticky thing that very difficult to get rid of. After years and years that you keep on doing it. And the funny thing in that is that your attempt to remove that sticky paint only puats another coat of it. You can never get rid of it. This is the tragedy of getting away from the results of the work. One thinks that, okay, let me do some other work. That becomes other work and you get stuck with the results of that work also. And therefore, in the second chapter and later also, it has been called Karma Bandha. The bondage of work that one gets entangled in, that and you don't know how to get out of it. The solution is in a way simple, but also not very easy to practice because we haven't cultivated that habit. In everything, we have to cultivate the habit of that practice. It is simple that do the work and give up the results. Simple. And that is what needs to be done. It is very important that you do the work, but do not at all crave for the result of it. And that is tyaga mentioned here. Tyaga, that give up the results of the work. Now to emphasize that you should not stop giving the work or doing the work. It is very important that you should not be stopping the work. You must keep on doing the work. Here it is again told, Tyajyam doshavaditike karma prahurmanishinah yajna dana tapak karma natyajyam itichapare. Some philosophers declare that all actions should be relinquished as being evil, while others say that work in the form of sacrifice, gift and austerity should not be relinquished. Yes, because there is the idea that do any work, even the best of the work, it will still bring some blemish in your life. There will be some people will be there who will be criticizing you. There will be some attachment that will get generated, and therefore give up all work. And some others say that look, those works like yajna, dana, tapah, the works of doing good to others, the sacrifice, and then giving the gifts and performing austerities, these works should never be given up. That is the idea proclaimed by some scholars, some thinkers. And now Lord says, gives his own conclusion in this matter. Nishchayam shrunu me tatra tyage bharat sattama tyago hi purusha vyagra trividha samprakirtitah. Hear from me the final truth about this relinquishment, O best of Bharatas, for relinquishment is truly declared to be of three kinds, O best of men. The relinquishment, giving up of fruits, is also of three types. We had seen in the 17th chapter that everything has these constitutional divisions of sattvika, rajasika and tamasika. The attitudes are therefore very important, and this is where the a great distinction in the this Vedanta philosophy from that psychology of behaviorism, that in behaviorism you look at the behavior, how the person is behaving. The actions are just looked into, but the actions, although externally those actions may appear similar, their internal components may be quite different. And these internal components are very important in determining the spiritual growth or the spiritual this evolution of that person through those actions. It is externally it may look same that both these people are doing the same thing. The behaviorists say that we anyway do not have any access to what the thought process is, so why bother about it? Let us forget about it. Let us just look at their actions, and on the face of it the arguments seem to make sense, that since nobody knows what that person is thinking, I have no idea that what Arunim is thinking there. As far as it is the external appearance goes, yes, he is sitting there quietly. And so everybody is sitting quietly here. But does that mean that everybody has the same mental process going on? No. And after all, in our spiritual growth or even in this psychological health, it is the thought world that is very important. By giving some trainings to your habits or putting some social restrictions, the external behavior could be controlled, but that doesn't mean the internal turmoil, internal storm could be contained. It could burst. It is something like if you have a pressure cooker, and if you do not have the valve there, then the things will explode. So similarly, you have to, it is internal something that is to be seen. So a person will give up, but the attitudes behind the giving up could be of three types, not exactly the same. A person A renounces the results of the actions with one mindset. Another does the same thing externally speaking, but with another mindset. And therefore, it is there is the difference. The types are different. And then in the fifth verse, he tells that, look, Arjuna, those actions which are ethically good actions, moreover they tend to make your attachments less, those actions should never be given up. Yajna dana tapa karma na tyajyam karyam eva tat. Yajno danam tapaschaiva pavanane manishinam. Work in the form of sacrifice, gift and austerity should not be relinquished, but should indeed be performed, for sacrifice, gift and austerity are sanctifying to the wise. So these works which have a sanctifying effect on you, don't give them up. They are to be performed by spiritual aspirants or those who want to ethically improve their life. What are those? The yajna. Yajna means giving up. Giving up sacrifice, that is called yajna. We had discussed this beautiful idea of yajna, sacrifice. What is to done there? You can see a fire burning and oblations are poured there. Now the oblations are burnt and the fire blazes more with that. So there is this idea that your ideal, whatever you think as great, or whatever you want to, you think as your something higher, that is to be thought of as fire. And then all that that which is pulling you down, that which is negative, that which binds you to this world, that is to be considered as the oblation put in the fire. Now what happens thereby? That which is detrimental to your growth gets burned, and thereby the fire that signifies your ideal, that becomes more shining and blazing. So that is everybody has to do. This is like whatever we do is therefore told in many scriptures to be told that they are to be done as sacrifice. Whatever action you perform, like taking the food, it is told that you understand it as sacrifice. There is the fire going on in the stomach that makes you feel hungry, and the food is the oblation. So you put that oblation in that fire, and thus instead of eating, call it that sacrifice. I am pouring oblation into that fire. So this is a great idea, that every action, even eating, is to be converted into sacrifice. And that is why we say this great verse from Bhagavad Gita, the 4th chapter, before taking our food, to get that grand picture of a sacrifice. That yes, let me think that it is Brahman, the ultimate reality, is the fire. That also is the oblation. That also is the ladle by which the oblation is poured. And that is also the result that we accrue from this. So to put that attitude or that understanding, that awareness in every action. So sacrifice, yajna, giving the gifts. What is the benefit of that? And your attachment reduces. Normal tendency is to grab, and so you have to counter it. That tendency needs to be countered. And so this is a training, that give. At many homes, therefore, a little baby or child is given money or something to be given as gift. I asked that why this child is, it is, why you can give, why the child is to be, no, the training is to be given to the child to give. It is a training that is very important. You learn to give. If it is not giving, then the life becomes full of that covetousness. That's a funny story, you know, that a fellow was drowning, and then another man, just to save him, jumped in that river, and then came close and said, "Give me your hand so that he can pull him out." The fellow wasn't giving at all, not extending the hand. Then somebody who knew this drowning fellow told, no, don't say "give me your hand," say "take my hand." Because this fellow never had practiced giving, always taking. So "give my hand," no giving, no, I can't give. So "take my hand," and immediately the fellow grabbed the hand and he was pulled out. So they joke apart, but the important thing is, this also is a matter of training. Give, so that you will become, you will have the tool of becoming free. Dana. It is very important for human beings, dana. It is said that the angels and demons and human beings all went to their common father, the God, Prajapati. That is the first expression of the Supreme Divine. He is called Prajapati, the father of all beings. So all went to their common father. This story comes in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And then the father asked, "What do you want?" And they said, "Well, tell us some advice so that our life becomes fulfilled." And instead of giving a long discourse like Yogatmananda gives, that father of all, just the advice was very simple, very short. How short, you know? Just monosyllable, just one syllable was uttered, so short. He said, the. So, according to their tendencies, they understood it. The demons, they have that cruelty, so they understood that our father wants us to practice daya, means compassion. You should not be cruel. Practice compassion. They understood the meaning of this syllable, the, as daya. We have to practice daya. The angels, the devas, these angels, they have this idea of this possessing. Always the idea is to go and grab and desire for enjoyment is very intense in them, and so therefore for them damana, the meant damana, control, don't go after those enjoyments, control. And for human beings, they understood that, well, we have that problem of covetousness. We want to grab, we want to keep, possess, don't want to give up. And that is why our problem. So give, dana. So for human beings, the great practice is dana, give. So when you give, you become to that extent mentally, you know, free from those things. So, therefore, dana. So, it is told that those actions are never to be given up. And tapah. What is tapah? Performing austerities. What is the meaning of austerity? Austerity means putting things under control. The sense organs are always demanding. So, you tell them, no, you won't get it. So, giving them what they need, but not what they demand. This is a very important thing that we need to learn. Our body keeps on demanding. Our mind also keeps on demanding. And I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to see this, I want to see that. Tell, no, you will not. Why you want to do all these things? No, you won't get it. Period. That is austerity. The mind will, for a little while, will, like children, you know, that they want to play and don't want to study. So what the parents tell, that no toys for you now. Do your work first. Do your school work. That is what you have to do. And so they take away the toys. So, the grown-up people have their own toys, so they also need to be therefore kept aside. That is austerity. Austerity is that you, your senses, your body, your mind starts demanding, I want this. It is not necessary, it is not needed. So, don't give unless it is needed. That is austerity. That body demands food. Food necessary, excellent. Food just because it is demanded by the body, now we then have the problems of obesity and all that. It is. So put this break there. And then it revolts in the beginning. The body revolts. The mind revolts for any discipline. But on principle one has to practice austerity, that yes, I will do meditation for 1 hour every day, and then sit there 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, according, that differs from person to person, but then one has to sit, and then when you sit for meditation, the mind starts kind of revolting. it starts running around all over. It starts telling you that what is the point in meditating and why should it be done right now? You have so many unfinished works. You had to give a call to that person, and then there is an important and very nice TV show that you like that is going on. First see that, and then meditation can be done any time, is it not? You bring in the scripture quote also that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that every time is good to take the name of Lord. So why now? See, as soon as you sit for meditation, those thoughts start making rounds. Should I meditate? Or well, maybe my daughter might be waiting for me. Let me make a call to her and then sit for meditation. Afterwards, again, something else comes. It is not that somebody, your mind is revolting, that's it. And you won't think that, well, my daughter might be thinking about me, I need to call her when you are watching a football game. It is only when you are sitting in meditation, then you get this thought. It is therefore very important, friends, that this idea of austerity, that mind will not like to do it, but it needs to do that. And it may demand many things, but they don't need it. The austerities are therefore a part of scripture, the spiritual life. By austerity, the mind becomes purified. In fact, it is therefore told in Taittiriya Upanishad. It begins with a nice story that Bhrigu was the student, his father's name was Varuna. So, Bhrigur vai Varuni Varunam Pitaram Upasasara. This Bhrigu goes to his father and requests, Adhihi Bhagavo Brahmeti, teach me about Brahman. I want to know the Divine. I want to know God. Teach me. And then he said, well, in a way it is simple, that where from, just think, where from all beings have come, where all these beings are existing, and where they dissolve, that is Brahman. Like what is ocean? Look at the waves, you know. A very beautiful idea. The teacher has to teach from where what the student already knows, from there to what the student doesn't know. It's a journey. So teacher begins what the student already knows. What the student knows? The waves. The superficial names and forms that come and go like waves. Are we not like waves? Rise. And there is birth. Rise. Grow. Change continuously. Clash against other waves. Form alliances with other waves and clash with some other waves. And then dissolve. All the time we are really the ocean. That is our true nature, the infinite. That is why we are also looking at infinite. We want infinite. Everything that we are really looking for, that is infinite. And so this question, what is that I am looking for? That is the ocean. You are not seeing it. Your true nature, you are not seeing it. But you are seeing these waves, these names and forms. Where from do they come? Look at that. Where they are existing? Look at that. Where they go back? Look at that. And then after giving this hint, he says, well, dear, and you have the instruments to realize that with you. You have all the sense organs. You have the mind. Only what you need to do is to purify that. If you purify, your vision will become perfect. And how this purification will come? Through tapas, through austerity. That therefore tapo brahmeti, therefore know that tapas is for you, God. Hold on to this tapas, hold on to this austerity, and then gradually it is shown how through this practice of austerity, ultimately this Bhrigu realizes the truth. And so it is very important that we learn to practice these sacrifice, giving these gifts, donations, and practicing the austerities. So they should never be given up. We shall continue discussing the next verses. Great ideas are there coming up in this chapter. Next Friday we shall take up that. Any questions about today's discussion? So let us conclude with the closing prayers. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarehi ya svayam padmanabhasya mukha padmadvinisrita ekam shastram devaki putra gitam eko devo devaki putra eva eko mantrah tasya namani yani karmapyekam tasya devasya seva Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Coming Sunday, friends, that is day after tomorrow, the Sunday talk is very special. It is the second part of A Cloud of Unknowing to be given by Father Paul. So please keep it in mind and come for that. And there is the day-long spiritual retreat coming up on 30th March, Saturday. So those of you who would like to join, please register for that.